albums that I would push replay and listen to over and over and over and over again. And he's always been faithful. And I love that. I love that. And that's one of them needed songs. All right, that's one of them. Sometimes you like them, sometimes you need them. You know, and I appreciate that. Thank you, Jonathan. Thank you, thank you. All right, got a few thoughts for you. Go ahead. Yeah.
12 years old, and I didn't even say, well, damn, I ain't got saved. Got it all through, like, taking time and all that. And saved, what a saved. Hallelujah, what a saved. With the Rick Wood gift, and I can't get over it. Got saved, you know, and then teenager got out of church, and came back to church, and started. One day I passed by to a car wash, and my wife knew that day, 1983,
all right. Good to be back tonight. Glad you're here. Got a few things for us tonight. If you listen, maybe get some help, maybe do a little bit of examining, a little bit of challenging, a little bit of changing, and get to where God can do something with us. All right, that we all fail. We all come short. And anytime I preach a message, I want you to know that 99% of it's to the preacher. All right, so y'all get in on what y'all can. All right, I figure I'm the worst one here, so I'll preach to me. Get me lined up, might help y'all. All right, so we'll look at the Word of God tonight. Try to find the help there. It's there, it's there. Need help in the Word. Have I ever told y'all to read your Bible? You need to get in your Bible. You need to read your Bible tonight. There's help in this book. Let's pray. Father, I come. You're wonderful to me. You're faithful to me. Lord, you can't not be. And I love it, Lord. Thank you so much for all you are, all you do. Help me now. Give me power. May the Word of God be opened up in such a way, Lord, it'll be opened in our mind and our heart. It'll change us, challenge us, move us. May it hammer us like a hammer and break us, and may it pierce us like a sword. And Lord, I pray that it might set a fire on us, that we might burn for you. I pray. May you get all the glory. And we'll thank you and praise you in Jesus' name. And amen. We told you this morning we were going to preach on the fear of God. And that's what we want to look at this evening. In 39 years of preaching, I look back. I've tried to look and think and go back. And I don't know that I've ever preached a complete message on the fear of God. I may have mentioned, but I've never preached a complete message on the fear of God until tonight. So when I got to looking at it and been studying about it, I found there's a lot in there about it. So we're going to look tonight. We'll open your Bible to start with, to Luke chapter 1. Luke chapter 1 and verse 50. That's not our text yet. We're going to have a few scriptures before we get to our text. And Luke chapter 1, verse 50. And it says here, and his mercy is on them that fear him from generation to generation. Well, I want to fear him because I want his mercy. What I don't want for me and what I don't want for you is justice. I don't ever want to say, I hope they get what's coming to them. I hope I never say that. If you ever hear me say that, stop me and remind me that everybody needs mercy. Everybody needs mercy. Then look over in Psalms 115. Psalms 115 and verse 13. Psalms 115, verse 13. And it'll tell us he will bless them that fear the Lord, both small and great. Well, I don't know about y'all. I like a little blessing.
Yeah.
Y'all like a little blessing?
Yeah.
I like a little blessing. A little now and then. Just a little blessing here, a little blessing there. How about a big plate of it? How about a bucket full? Huh? He said he will bless them that fear the Lord, both small and great. And I believe tonight we need to fear God. Now, if you think about it, give me that first block, if you will, there, Jeremy. Give me that first one. I want you to look here. I got the guys doing something a little different. Fear, when we think about the fear of God and what kind of fear it is, I want you to look here just for a moment. Fear, now, at number six, there's a sixth definition in the Webster Dictionary. And the first fear, of course, is being frightened, being scared. And God's not that he wants us to be scared of him. All right, that we run from him, we run to him. He seeks us. Him seeking us and us running to him is the proper method that God has. He seeks for us, and then we come to him. And there is no fear, because perfect love casteth out all fear of this, of the type that you're scared. Everybody understand? But this fear in Scripture, this is how it says in the dictionary, in Scripture, fear is used to express, I think it's pronounced filial, and it means as a parent and a child, is what it means. And then, or a slavish passion, or as a slave or a servant would to their owner or to their boss, all right? The fear used to express that kind of passion. In good men, the fear of God is a holy awe or reverence of God and his laws, which springs from a just view and real love of the divine character, leading the subjects of it to hate and shun everything that can offend such a holy being. Now, if you read that, it leads us, who are his subjects, the divine character is God and his attributes, his perfection, and it leads us, his subjects, to hate and to shun or stay away from anything that's going to offend the holy being or anything that's going to offend God. I need to hate it or be shunned, to shun it. Everybody follow me. It's what it means. And inclining them to aim at perfect obedience. I'm going to fear him, and I'm going to hate everything that hurts his character, anything that would, I'm going to shun it, I'm going to get away from it, anything that would offend him, and then it's going to move me to aim at perfect obedience. If I fear the Lord, that's what that fear means. All right, that's about as in-depth a meaning as I could get. Now, I believe we've got another in there. Give me the second one. A reverential affection for him, which is peculiar to children. All right? Like these children love and fear. They don't run, but they love, fear, and respect. All right? A filial or godly fear, which is consistent with strong faith, great joy, true courage, and is opposite to pride and self-confidence, and is accompanied with real holiness. Now we're talking about the fear of God. The fear of God. Now, if I was to ask you, do you fear God? Of course, I'm sure you would. All right, that'll be enough. Now, block that out there. That'll be enough for right now. All right, get ready on the third when I ask for it. All right. Now, I want you to look in Proverbs chapter 1. Proverbs chapter 1. Everybody still with me? We're talking about the fear of God. We're talking about us fearing God. Not running from God. I want to run to God. I need to reverence him. All right? The fear of God. Proverbs chapter 1, verse 7 says, "The fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge, but fools despise wisdom and instruction." The fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge. All right? Now, when we think of that fear, now think about it, it's not being afraid. It's that reverential fear. All right? It's a fear as a child. Everybody still with me? Now, I want you to look in Proverbs chapter 19. We sing, yes, I think, don't we? Psalm 19. Don't we sing Psalm 19? 19, verse 9. Now this fear is not your normal fear. See, when we think of being afraid, you know, like some of y'all are afraid of mice. Some are afraid of spiders. Right? Some are afraid of snakes. Well, that's a fear. Right? But that's not. We're not talking about being afraid. Look here at Psalms 19:9 says, the fear of the Lord's clean. It's good. It's clean. It's perfect. It's holy. It's pure. And we're to fear the Lord. The fear of the Lord is clean, enduring forever. The judgments of the Lord are true and righteous altogether. Now, we think about that. But the problem is, there's very little fear of God. There's very little true fear of God anymore. All right? Now, I want you to listen to something. And everybody knows Adrian Rogers, you know. After I got done studying that line, I wonder. I wonder if there's any sermons by Adrian Rogers on the fear of the Lord. I like him. He's a good preacher. And I couldn't find what I was looking for. I found one that he wasn't talking. It was just written down. But I did find a note he wrote, a little quote, a couple of things that he wrote. Now, I want you to listen. This is just from a man, but he told a history thing and then told something that he said. But listen to this. It said, the founding fathers of America sought God's help to begin this great nation. Now, we know that. I understand America is not a theocracy, as was Israel. But Alex D. He's a Frenchman, I reckon. Alex D. Tocqueville, that's the best I can tell you. Born 1805, died 1859. Is what he said. He said, I sought for the greatness and genius of America. I sought for their genius. So I sought it in her commodious harbors and her ample rivers, but it wasn't there. I sought it in her fertile fields and boundless forests, but it was not there. I sought her in her rich mines and her vast world commerce, and it was not there. I sought her in her democratic Congress and her matchless constitution, and it was not there. But not until I went into the churches of America and heard her pulpits flame with righteousness did I understand the secret of her genius and power. America is great because she's good. And if America ever ceases to be good, America will cease to be great. So he will bless those who fear the Lord. That's what we read a while ago, both small and great. Adrian Rogers once wrote that. And, you know, I believe that to be true. When we quit being good, we'll quit being great. We'll quit achieving anything. You agree to that? And then Adrian Rogers said this. He said, do you know what's wrong with America today? We got a generation who don't fear God. A friend told him, said, I want to tell you that you shouldn't have people be afraid or fear anything or use that word. All right? And he said this. He said, I don't believe in using fear as a motive, but sometimes I do. All right? He said, and I'm not the only one that does. Now listen, we talk about fear. I want you to get in your mind, we're talking about the fear of God. All right? The medical profession. Now, there's nurses in here tonight. And the medical, you know, they do their best to scare us to pieces. Well, they do. They do. You know what they say? Watch your cholesterol or you'll die of a heart attack. Is that what they tell you? But they don't tell you that you got to have a little bit of cholesterol or you'll die anyway. That's true, isn't it? Ain't it true? You got to have a little bit. Right? Think about that. So, you know, I always figure if you need a little bit, then use a lot. Right? But I don't have that. I don't have that problem. But I don't. I really don't. My cholesterol is better than most of y'all. But you know, that's a fear, ain't it though? A safety engineer, the safety man at work, huh? He says, wear your goggles, you'll get your eye put out. Huh? Wear your goggles. Where you go, you don't want your eye put out. Where you go, that's fear. Fear of losing your eye. Are we okay with that? Yeah. the police, they do this on the TV. They got signs on every road of how fast you ought to travel. You know why? It says slow down or you're going to get killed. Right? They want you to drive safe speed. Huh? That's fear. They want that fear indwelt in your mind. Huh? Think about that. Everybody uses fear, except the preacher ain't allowed to. Yeah. The preacher says, you know, you, if you don't get saved, you'll go to hell. Don't you scare me like that. Yeah. And Adrian Rogers said he'd rather scare you into heaven than to be slack about it and you go to hell. So anyway, you can get there. Yeah, my fault. But anyway, we're talking about fear. We're talking about being aware. Fear. And we look at fear in the scared part. It makes us concerned. But we need to look about the fear that moves us, or that reverential fear. See, I know that we don't have fear in this country. Listen carefully. And we're not talking politics. I'm going to preach against sin, whether you're Democrat or Republican or independent or nothing. All right? So I really don't care if it offends you in that respect. He that loveth the law, great peace have thee that love the law. Nothing shall offend thee. Right? That's what the Bible said. All right? We still okay? But I watched our glorious leaders. Listen to our glorious leaders the other night at the State of the Union address. And I listened to the evilness and the wickedness and no fear of God as our president shamed the Supreme Court for reversing Roe versus Wade, the killing of babies, and people stood and applauded and clapped. Our elected officials hurrayed when our wicked leader said that it was all right to kill babies. There's no fear of God. And that's all of our elected officials did, but the majority of them was up there clapping and hooray and everything. That's evil. That's evil. And I don't care what you are, that's evil. All right? You know, our nation sets back and lets even the medical field and the leaders of the medical field makes it to where our elderly can't afford medical, to where they got to sign their house over and all their property over to die with dignity that they're really not given in nursing home. I think there's no fear of God there. I think there's no fear of God when a country will let veterans who fought for our freedom to go homeless and hungry and send trillions of dollars to people who hate God and hate America and hate one another. I think there's no fear of God in our country. All right? Now that's what I believe. And whether anybody else does say it's one of the women think we're, if nobody else does, that's okay. I still do. All right? But then I come to the church house. And I don't see the fear of God even in the church house anymore in the way that the Bible speaks of us fearing God, of what real fear is. And that's what I want to preach to you just for a moment. Let's look for a moment in Proverbs chapter 14. Proverbs chapter 14. Then we're going to take one verse and digest it. All right? Proverbs chapter 14, verse 26. 27, it says, in the fear of the Lord is strong confidence. Is that not true? I believe it'd be true. And his children shall have a place of refuge. The fear of the Lord, verse 27, the fear of the Lord is a fountain of life. To depart from the snares of death. All right. Then if I drop over to, let's see. Well, that was it. That was chapter 14, 1. 15. Look at 15, verse 16. All right. Proverbs chapter 15, verse 16 says, all the days of the afflicted. Wait a minute. Verse 16. Better is little with the fear of the Lord than great treasure and trouble therewith. Better's a little. It's better to have just a little if you got the fear of the Lord. It's better to have just a little bit if you got the fear of the Lord, it's better than much. We okay? Everybody understand it? Now, let's look at Proverbs chapter 8. And this is what we want to preach from tonight. Proverbs chapter 8. And we want to look at verse 13. We're going to look at verse 13. Now, give me that third picture there, Jeremy. Now, when we read this verse, I want to teach you something here. Proverbs chapter 13. Read your Bible first, then we'll look at the wall. Everybody read your book, their Bible now. Proverbs chapter 8, verse 13. It says, the fear of the Lord is to hate evil, and then there's a colon there. All right? Everybody understand that? Everybody see it? Now look on the wall now. The colon, that little two dots. Now the reason I'm saying this is so you know how you read the verse. That colon has a variety of uses. Now this is off of a grammar book. All right? Some of which include introducing a list, introducing an explanation, introducing a quote, and connecting two related sentences. So when you see a colon, it's important what follows. Everybody follow me? It ain't just there. It's introducing a list for a purpose. Everybody understand? And it's in conjunction with the part before the colon. All right, that's your grammar lesson from the preacher who's y'all at English is my third language. Brother Rick Smarter, English is his second. English is my third because I speak American and I speak Winonian and then I speak English. All right, it's my third language. All right, but let's look here at Proverbs chapter 8. You can take it off the wall. I won't need it no more. Proverbs chapter 8, verse 13. It says, the fear of the Lord is to hate evil. Now we say that we fear the Lord. We say that we fear God. But if you don't hate evil, you don't fear God. You've got to hate evil. Do you understand that? The fear of the Lord is that if you don't hate evil, you don't fear God. And I believe with all my heart, that not only are there no fear of God in the presidency, and it don't matter the one that may be elected or the one that's in there now, none of them fear God. They're too pompous and prideful. And our Senate don't fear God, and our Congress don't fear God. You may have a Christian here and there, spotted here and there, but they're so bound they can't do nothing. But when it comes to the church house, it used to be that when somebody was a Christian and they buried him, they would say that was a God-fearing woman or a God-fearing man. But I don't know that you could say that anymore. Because we got to hate all evil. We hate some evil. But we don't hate all evil. We hate most evil what others do, but we don't hate all evil because we still don't hate the evil we do. Alright? To hate evil. The fear of the Lord is to hate evil. And when it's read like that, that's meaning all evil. The fear of the Lord is to hate evil. That all evil is evil, evil. Anything evil. Evil thoughts. Evil words, evil actions, evil company, evil doctrine, evil worship. You put it, anything after, anything that's evil. If we fear the Lord, we're going to hate evil. We're going to hate evil. Now think about it. We're going to hate evil thoughts. That means when we have them, we're going to hate it and we're going to shut of it. When we have evil actions or see evil actions, all evil thoughts, all evil actions, hear me now, all evil works, all evil words, all evil words, all right? Evil company, evil doctrines, teachings, huh? Evil worship. And you say, well, I don't worship evil. If you don't worship God in spirit and truth, then you're not giving Him true worship. And then that would be evil worship. If you have idols in your life, then it's idolatry. Everybody still, if there's something more to you than what the Lord is, it's idolatry. Huh? Can I tell you that if you believe in murdering babies, then you're evil. And you're no different than the people that worship Baal or Baal and burnt their babies and burnt their kids and threw them and laid them in the fire and laid them in the hands of the statue. And they would put them in the hands and let them burn up and scream and melt. No different than putting them in a dumpster or sucking them out with a vacuum. And I listened to the senator and the medical professor, one in the medical profession, had described an abortion as they would go in with a clamp until they could feel the head of the fetus, and they would clamp and mash, and they knew that they'd mashed the head when they seen the white and the gray fluid come out. And if they got the head mashed, then it would not be hard to pull the baby on out of the birth canal. And anybody don't think that's evil, well, let me tell you something, that's more than evil, that's just wicked. That's what abortion is. It ain't having a baby and selling it. No, it's taking a clamp and crushing it till the gray brain matter runs out and then suck it out and peel it out leg at a time, hand at a time until they get it all out and do a DNC procedure that cleans all out where the fetus was and clean all out. That's an abortion. All right? Think about that. And then we want to have our leadership like that. I can't handle that. I can't do that. I hate evil. I hate evil. I hate all evil. Evil thoughts, evil words, evil actions, evil company, evil doctrines, evil worship. It's all involved in that tonight. Right? That's to hate evil. But then I see that colon, and now it's going to list the other things that I am to hate the same way. That's why that colon's there. The fear of the Lord is to hate evil. And then it should read, the fear of the Lord is to hate evil. The fear of the Lord is to hate pride. Yeah. Ooh! I read that and I said, well, I don't fear the Lord. Because at times I meet up with pride. At times I meet plumb up with pride. I'm proud to be an American, so at least I know I'm free. Huh? But the Bible says. Huh? The fear of the Lord is to hate evil. The fear of the Lord is to hate pride. Huh? So that's what we need. We ought to work on that. We ought to work on hating evil. I want my desires to fear the Lord. Because I want His blessing. My desire is the fear of the Lord because I want His mercy. My desire is the fear of the Lord, though I'll be small or great, and He's going to take care of some things. I'm talking about the fear of God tonight. I'm talking about the fear of the Lord. To hate pride. Pride when it's thinking too high of ourselves. We know that, right? We know that's what pride is. But you also know that when you look up the word pride, it's not only thinking high of yourself, but it's thinking low of others. That pride is just as bad to think less of others as it is more of yourself. I said, well, I slapped me in the teeth. All right, I'll not think too much of myself. But that guy was there too, man. Huh? Pride. But yet the fear of the Lord is to hate all evil and to hate pride. You know, trusting our own selves, our own abilities. I'll do it. Which one was it? Marcus? Was it Marcus? You say me do it? You know, him or Philip? My do it. Hey, little, you know, independent, little rebels. I do it. That's me and the Lord. You know what I showed y'all last week? You know, I thought that when I would trust the Lord, it would be, I would drive a while, He would drive a while. Right? I do it. That match anybody tonight other than the preacher? It matches the preacher. Right? You know, when I, that's what pride is. But the fear of the Lord is to hate evil. That's all evil. Huh? That's evil thoughts and evil words and evil actions and evil company and evil doctrines and evil worship. To hate pride. And then he goes on and says the fear of the Lord is to hate evil, pride, and arrogancy. Well, you would think that would be with pride. Wouldn't you? But I thought it interesting. The way the definition of arrogancy, it says it's a species of pride. I thought, well, that's interesting. It didn't say it was like pride. It said it's a species. It's got its own species of pride. Arrogancy. Big feeling. Chest out. Perfect Percy and Bertha better than you. Huh? That puts our importance above anybody. Like selfishness, like I, my needs, my wants. I think. Huh? There's another guy in the Bible that had eye trouble. What was his name? Then Isaiah. What was his name? Lucifer. A little bit of arrogant. And that's the way I want, I think, I feel, I believe, I know. Huh? A species of pride that put one importance above another, huh? To an undue degree. Conceitedness. Proud contempt. Arrogancy. Do you hate that? I hate that in anybody but me. I hate it when you're like that. I ain't like that. I hate it when you're like that, but I'm not like that. I'm better than that. I'm above that. I am not arrogant. Just ask me. I'm not prideful. I can't help what you're dumb. I'm smarter. I know more. I've been there. I've done that. I've got the t-shirt and the trophy. Huh? I know. Arrogancy just irritates me. When it's y'all. But the fear of the Lord is to hate evil. All evil. Evil thoughts, evil words, evil actions, evil company, evil doctrine, evil worship. It's to hate pride. Thinking too highly of ourselves and less of others. Trusting our own ability. It's to hate arrogancy. The species. I can't get over that. It's a species of pride. Huh? And then it says, and the evil way. Wait a minute. I thought that was all evil. Then it separates and makes sure we understand. And the fear of the Lord is to hate the evil way. Not just evil, but the evil way. Well, I thought that was all evil. But that evil way, again, is all evil. Evil thoughts, evil works, evil actions, evil words, evil company, evil doctrine, evil worship. It's the evil way. It's the evil path. It's the evil road. It's the evil direction. It's the evil... Everything evil. And that's the fear of the Lord. But yet, we say we fear the Lord. I say, yeah, well, I fear the Lord. Sure, I fear the Lord. No, I found out maybe I don't fear the Lord. Maybe I'm not much different than our leaders in Congress and our leaders in the White House. Maybe I'm not much different at all than everybody else in the world. And then it says this, the fear of the Lord is to hate evil, hate pride, hate arrogancy, and hate the evil way. And then it says, the fear of the Lord is to hate the froward mouth. And I said, well, nah, it's going to be interesting to find out what this means. Huh? What does that froward mouth mean? Well, I done some looking, and you know what it says? And it smacked me in the teeth. Not willing to comply what is required. Not willing to comply what is required. Ungovernable. That means rebel, I think. We got any rebels in here? I know we got one. Hey, has anybody been named right at that one? That's my buddy. I'm brutal. She told me I'm brutal. Jeremy says, you're an encourager. No, you're brutal. Yes, he's my buddy. A froward mouth, not willing to comply what is required. Ungovernable. Disobedient? Oh my, a froward mouth is disobedient? I always do what the Lord wants. I always do what He says. I fear the Lord. I'm always doing. Now I'm finding out maybe I don't fear the Lord. I'm finding out, man, I've done come up on the short end of the stick again. Wow. Wait a minute. That ain't all. That froward mouth means apt to mutter. What is that? Apt to mutter. You ever mutter? Huh? Complain? Huh? Now, I want to back up. The meaning says ungovernable, disobedient, peevish. All right. So I looked up the word peevish. And peevish is that muttering complainer. We got anybody as peevish in here? We got any peevish people in here? Huh? So ain't no peevish people where I live. We're all Baptists. Huh? You know what I'm finding? I'm finding that this book shows me what I am. And it shows that not harshly. It shows me that as a parent, as a father, would nourish the child. That I might have fear, awe, respect for the holiness of God. Huh? We're talking about the fear of the Lord. Adrian Rogers said the best explanation or the best definition for fearing God is love on his knees. I said, wow, I like that. Love on his knees might be a good definition of fearing the Lord. Love on his knees. Give me back that first slide there, Jeremy. That very first slide. The very first slide says, in Scripture, fear is used to express a filial or slavish passion. You know, that filial, or, let me tell you again, that's like a child and a parent. Or that slavish passion, like a slave to an owner or a servant to a master. In good men, the fear of God is a holy awe or reverence of God and His laws, which springs from a just view and real love of the divine character, leading the subjects of it to hate and shun everything that can offend such a holy being, and inclining them to aim at perfect obedience. It inclines me to aim at perfect obedience. When I fear the Lord, it inclines me to aim at perfect obedience. And tonight I ask you, do you fear the Lord? I thought I feared the Lord. And I found out I didn't. I said, well, Mark, everything you preach, I just fail. Yeah, I do too. See, this book is narrow. This book is narrow. This book is just as narrow as the path. And that path is just as narrow as the cross. And it's a straight gate. It's a narrow gate. We can't live the way we want to live and be right with God. We can't live the way we want to live and be right with God. And the challenge tonight is that we desire, that we change and desire to live for the Lord, to fear the Lord. Because with the fear of the Lord is blessing to the small and to the great. The fear of the Lord brings mercy. Huh? Man, I want mercy. I don't want justice. Tonight, I just want to think about the fear of God. God help us to fear God. God help us to elect leaders that fear God. God help us not to elect murderers and abortionists and child murderers. God help us to fear Him. Awe and respect and reverence and anything that offends His character. Let me ask you tonight. How many love their daddy more than anything? Hold your hand up. You love your daddy more than anything. Would you allow anybody to do something against your daddy? I mean, if you were standing there and your daddy was standing there, would you allow them to say something mean to him? Would you allow them? Would you allow them? It don't matter whether they was mean or not. You wouldn't allow them to disgrace your daddy, would you? Man, I wouldn't. My daddy was standing beside me, and there was the least bit of disrespect. Somebody was in trouble. But yet we don't hate evil in our daddy, our father, Abba Father. Something like that. What's the whole thing about?